for the singing, praise for the moaning, praise for them springing fresh from the wood. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the Lord light, even so. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
Anybody else? Yes, Deb.
98. 1 and 3. To God be the glory. Okay.
There's just something about it.
Yes.
How about 144?
144. 1 and 3.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. We hope you enjoy our worship this evening and that truly the Lord is with us and guides each of our hearts to hear the word that he has for us today. At this time, we'll review our announcements. First up is we do have our birthdays this month. Please take a look. We're still in July, so if you have not had a chance to greet the folks listed, please do so as you have an opportunity to. The July newsletter is available in the Narthex. You can also take a look at it online at the church website and keep apprised of everything going on here at the church. As always, please remember we are the Cereal Church. The church participates in the community's pantry efforts, food pantry. So please continue to bring cereal. I believe you can leave it on the in the narthex there on the pew there, and they'll be collected and provided to the ICSC here in town. And next, we have our pastor's lunch, which is coming up in August, August 16th, and that's at noon at the Legend 8 China Restaurant, and cost is $15 per person. I hear we're getting a pretty good turnout for that, and it's a great time to have some food with our pastor and to do meet him in a setting other than here on Sunday. So take advantage of that.
We had 25 people for that lunch.
Wow, boy, you're just gonna have to rent out the whole restaurant pretty soon. That's great.
Well, actually, I am looking for a different place, different venue. If you have any place that you would recommend, let me know. I will go check it out, their food and the place, if they have good food and the space for us to gather together so that we can alternate.
Sounds good. Sounds very, very good. We're also offering the Hearts Grow opportunity on the second and fourth Sundays. This is for the children who can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship. Parents are welcome to be there also. So it's a fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages using the arts to connect to our Creator. And that's in the children's church room, which next door in the education building. Okay, so if you just go into the next building, I believe it's the take a left or just go straight in?
Straight.
Okay, so there you go. So take advantage of that. Another great opportunity. Our next announcement has to do with our Samaritan's Purse shoebox project. I believe the boxes are available today over in the fellowship hall. Deb says we'd really like everybody to take two boxes, not just one. Fill it up with the items that are listed and make sure they're age appropriate for the kids these will be given to. And they should be returned, how soon, Deb? Okay, November 5th, and they can bring those either Sundays or to the church office? Okay, great. So let's do a great job and provide a lot of shoe boxes for the kids. And today at 11 a.m., we will have another chance to watch and discuss The Chosen, and that does also has a lunch opportunity. Again, that's at 11 a.m. with our pasta and bread. Oh, finger food. Okay, my mistake. So finger food. We're changing it up a little bit. So, but not it's not eating our fingers, but just that you get to pick them up with your fingers. So take advantage of that.
It's better than licking the fingers.
Yes, that's right. You could still be finger licking good though. And then coming up our electronic waste drive, which is coming up this coming Saturday, July 29th. Take advantage of that. Believe me, I think we all probably have old electronic devices, be it old VHS, DVD drives, TVs, computers, laptops, phones, you name it. If it's electronic, bring it. And it's a great fundraising opportunity and a chance to clean out our closets. And last item is the Mary Methodist trip, which is going to be headed to the Redlands Bowl this coming Saturday, July. No, that's two. It is, Saturday. This month's going by too fast for me. This coming Saturday, July 29th, this is the Bowl's summer musical they put on. Great opportunity, great setting. Can't say enough good about it, so take advantage of it. Look at the times and places to be, and make it a great trip and enjoy it, but I'm sure it will be a very good performance. And I think that's all the announcements. Anything else? All right. With that, we will move on to our call to worship, and please stand as you're able. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith.
For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame.
And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
And please remain standing for our opening hymn, On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand. And it'll be on the screen.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possession lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Over all those wide extended plains shine one eternal day. There God the sun forever reign and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds or poisonous breath can reach that hellful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and fears no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
And please take a few moments while you're still standing to greet those around you and give them the passing of the peace.
Let's see who we have on Zoom. We see Lois. Good to see you, Lois. And Helen, our faithful worshiper from all the way Chico. So good to see you. And we also have June and Joyce. They are always faithful to be with us on Sunday morning. Good to see you all, and we have Alicia. Good to have you, Alicia, and Bill. April's here, and Bill is worshiping at home.
Very good. Greetings to all our remote worshipers. If you have a praise or a prayer of concern, just raise your hand. Deb will bring you the mic.
And thank you for Diane for being here at the last minute, because Colleen is recovering from COVID, and she says she's really better, but she just wants to have a nice buffer before she comes back. So keep Colleen in her prayer and her husband.
I have a joy and a concern. I hadn't heard from my son in a couple weeks, and he usually calls me. So I tried calling his number on Thursday, and it said was no longer in service, which concerned me. And I prayed all day Friday. I said, Lord, please make sure my son is okay. I'm worried about him. He's had a long recovery and, you know, back on the right track over the last year. And Saturday we were out and my son called and I said, Michael, I was so worried about you. I tried calling and your number was no longer in service. And he said, Mom, I was in a bad accident. He goes, I was on my bike and someone hit me and took off. And he goes, I hit a wall and had 18 stitches across his face. And he goes, but Mom, I'm okay. He goes, but I didn't know that you had had a heart attack. He goes, I heard through his son who's in the service. And I said, I'm doing okay. But that just goes to show you the power of prayer, because Pawn can tell you, I prayed all day Friday, please make my son be okay. And I got the call Saturday.
So praise God.
I just believe in the power of prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Nice to see you, Perry.
My older brother is going to have, I don't know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to stop his heart. And then they're going to start it again. And he is scared to death. And I'm concerned, but I understand they do it a lot. But it's I don't know what it is. But he has another problem with a valve, and they said that's not good to have both. So that's what they're going to do. So if you'd hear a prayer for, his name is Bill. And he's scared. I understand that. Thank you.
Deb, Dan has brought his daughter this morning to worship with us. So would you hand the microphone over so that we will get to know her?
Hi, my name is Denise, and I live in Torrance. And this is my lovely dad.
Very nice.
So I'm glad to be here today.
Welcome, Denise. Welcome.
Some of you may have heard this already, but Max Lucado, you know, is a good Methodist minister. He wrote once, our prayers may be awkward and our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it, not the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. There's a local guy here, I don't know, some of you may know him, he's been here, I think, lifelong, Ken Patterson, who is recently diagnosed with ALS, and as you know, there's no known cure for that.
My announcement is a little bit off track, but when I got up this morning, which I usually do, and walked to the kitchen around 7:30, raised the blind, I looked at my pond, and guess what I had sitting in the pond? A beautiful black bear. So that we still have wildlife around to be thankful for. So just be careful. Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Did the bear say hi to you?
Did you take any photos?
I live in a mobile home park where there's a lot of people older than me. which is amazing. In the last 3 days, we've had 6 ambulances in there. We had one this morning. There are people without air conditioning and don't know how to handle the heat.
Oh, wow.
So I need prayer for all of them.
Right. Yep. Well, they say about 10,000 people died in Europe because of the heat. I mean, that's a day, 10,000 a day. That's a lot.
Sorry. Hi, I'm Judy. I had a real joy this week. Due to COVID and my friend Lance having had cancer, and he's now pretty much well. He's doing maintenance and stuff. But there were 3 of us that went to kindergarten together, and we're really close friends. And we finally got to get together after 7 months or so. And it was such a joy, and I was so excited, and so were they. But I ended up going without my earrings, and I don't leave without my earrings. And then later I had to go to the bathroom, and I went in the, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, oh my God, you look terrible. What's the matter? I didn't have any of my eye makeup on. That's how excited I was to go. I just, let me go. But it was a really good time and a total joy. Thank you.
That makes you look more like you did in kindergarten. Welcome back, Destiny. Destiny's back from Europe.
All right. Very nice. Well, tell us about your trip, Destiny.
It was a good trip. I went to Portugal, Spain, France, Italy, and Greece over a span of 35 days with a tour group of 31 people.
Very
so it was
nice.
A lot of fun.
Nice. Well, you look different from the trip now.
I have 2 prayer requests. One, my other grandma, my dad's mom, passed away on Wednesday. So prayers for my dad and our family, because we just did this with my mom's mom. So, and then also my cancer has metastasized into my liver. So just prayers that the doctors can get it out. Thank you.
I know it's been really a tough battle for Rachel. And Rachel, just, you know, want to remind you that we've been all been praying for you. So don't be discouraged and don't give up. And we are also praying for your family. You know, you have dealt with the 2, you know, death in your family. And it is a very tough situation. And I hope that the Lord will provide the peace and comfort for the entire family. So we'll pray, and then the burial service is scheduled for Wanda at the National Cemetery in Riverside on following Monday, right? Yeah.
Is there anyone on Zoom? Please raise your hand.
Okay, we'll continue with our unison prayer, which you'll find on the screens or in the bulletin. Let us pray.
Dear Lord Jesus, you have called us to be disciples and faithfully follow your words. As Christ's agents in our communities, we represent you by our words and deeds so that people may hear the good news and receive Christ into their lives. Give us purity of heart that we glorify you in all we do. The reason we live is to honor you and lift your name on high. This we ask in your name. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all those whom that God has placed in our hearts, in our life circle, and all those who need our prayer support, near and far. Lord Jesus, we often face challenges of life that comes in various forms. And whenever we see troubles on our way, we feel like that our faith dissipates from us very quickly. But oh Lord, we have learned to trust you over the years through all the trials in the past. We have learned to trust you that you are the one who rewards those who come to you by faith. And you never fail to answer our prayers. You never fail to meet our need. We have seen your powerful hand, your guidance, your provision along the way. We have seen your involvement deeply into our lives over and over and over. And because of all those experiences we have had, O Lord, in the past, we know that you are still with us. You are working in our lives on our behalf. You are dealing with our problems so that all we have to do is to bring them unto you and entrust them into your care. So, Lord, as we gather together with your people, we lift up our prayers, lift up our concerns, and trust that you will do it again. You will work miracles. You'll manifest your power once more. And you will open the closed doors. You will make a way when problems surround us and make us feel that we are surrounded by impossibilities. So, Lord, we ask you this morning once more that you touch our hearts, touch our mind, touch our whole being, and increase our faith that we may come closer to you when we see troubles, that we may draw close to you when we feel overwhelmed. So this is our prayer. This is our praise, trusting that you will remove all the barriers from our path and let us know that you love us in spite of our shortcomings, that you will empower us that we may confront all the difficulties and be victorious in the end with your help. So we give you thanks and praise for what you have done, for what you are doing, and for what you will do on our behalf. You have heard the prayers shared among us. You know our need even before we ask. So, Lord, we lift up our hearts, lift up our prayers unto you, and ask you to continue to fulfill your good and perfect will upon our lives, upon this church, upon the life of our loved ones, upon this nation and the world today. So now we join our hearts in prayer, praying together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is Avocado Asks, What Am I? By Momoko Abe. Avocado was feeling just fine in the fruit and vegetable aisle of the supermarket. Life was pretty simple. No doubts, no questions, no confusion. Until one day a small customer pointed and asked, Is an avocado a fruit or a vegetable? I'm not sure, sweetie. When we get home, we'll look it up. Suddenly, Avocado's world turned upside down. Fruit? Vegetable? Avocado didn't know the answer either. So Avocado asked the vegetables, Am I a vegetable? The vegetables seemed confused at first, but then the cabbages said, You're not leafy like us, and you're not crunchy like us, the carrots cut in. And vegetables don't have a big pit in the middle like you do, grumbled the potatoes. So, you're not a vegetable. Then I must be a fruit, thought Avocado. So Avocado asked the fruits, Am I a fruit? You're not sweet and juicy like us, said the pears. No one would eat you as dessert, giggled the bananas. You belong in a salad, but not a fruit salad, chuckled the peaches. You're not a fruit. Avocado's insides felt like they were turning to guacamole. I don't belong with the vegetables or the fruit. There must be somewhere I can feel at home. But where? I'm pretty sure I'm not an herb or a sausage. I know I'm not a canned pea or a bean. Avocado came to the fish counter. With their fins and scales, the fish looked very different, but it was worth a try. Am I a fish? Don't be silly. Avocados can't swim, said the fish coldly. You're not a fish. But what about the cheeses? Some of them were round, like avocado. Some of them had hard skin on the outside, too. Am I a cheese? Asked Avocado. You're not a cheese. They smell a lot like feet, thought Avocado. I'm pretty glad I'm not a cheese. Maybe I'm an... Nope. Avocado was more confused than ever. I'm not a fruit, a vegetable, a fish, a cheese, or an egg. So what am I? Far from the fruit and vegetable section, Avocado was feeling lost and lonely. And that was when Avocado heard, Hey, cheer up, amigo, said Tomato. You don't know what you are? So what? Don't stew in your own juices. I'm a fruit, but no one believes me. And I don't care. Because I'm tasty, hot or cold. I make splendid salads and superb soup. People love me on pizza and adore me with pasta, and they can't get enough of my ketchup. And you, Avocado, you are the star of any salad. You're terrific on toast and tremendous in tacos. You're scrumptious in sushi, and your guacamole is so delicious that the other fruits and vegetables go green with envy. Who cares what we are when we're simply amazing, said Tomato. It was true. They could just be themselves, and that was enough. Suddenly, Avocado didn't feel lost and lonely anymore. And that was when they heard, Excuse me, what are we? Fruit or nut? Am I a weed? Am I a spice? Fruit or vegetable or fungus? Spoon or fork? The end. May we not ever be defined by a label, and may we not label anyone, because we are all a mix of many, many things. That's how God made us. Amen.
Amen. You may remain seated for our next hymn, which is I Need Thee Every Hour, number 397. Thank you. Scripture reading this morning comes from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 19 through 27. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might gain all the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to gain Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might gain those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not outside God's law, but am within Christ's law, so that I might gain those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I might become a partner in it. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all worshiping here in this beautiful sanctuary, and also all those who have come to join us via Zoom. So good to see you worshiping at wherever you are. I pray that we will meet God personally this morning as we worship him and hear his voice speaking to us through his message. Leaning from a window one fine spring morning, a woman noticed a poorly dressed man standing in front of a vacant store located just under the window. Many people stop by to give the man money. Not only that, they were also exchanging handshake with the man, giving the man high fives, patting him on his shoulders, and hugging him. As they left, they all had smiles on their faces. Impressed by the sympathy being poured out, she too wanted to support him. She put a $10 bill in an envelope, scribbled on a piece of paper, "Godspeed," and tossed it down to him. Few days later, she saw the man again. This time, he wore a new suit and shoes and was walking back and forth in front of the building where she lived. Her curiosity got the best of her, and she decided to ask him what transformed him so. He spotted her as soon as she walked out of the house and hurriedly came up to her and said, "Lady, I've been looking for you. Here's your $500. Godspeed won at 50-1. You know what that is? Horse racing. The horse racing, do you know, has a long, very long history. In fact, it was one of the ancient Olympic Games. The other Olympic Games were chariot race, running, wrestling, pentathlon, that is a throwing disc and javelin, boxing, pancration, that is a combination of boxing, wrestling, and kicking. The first recorded victor of the Olympic Games was Choroebus of Elis, who won a foot race in 776 BC, that long. Romans ruled Greece and enjoyed the same Olympic sports and added more varieties such as acrobatics, tightrope walking, animal chases, animal baiting, and cockfighting and ball games. And one ball game resembles today's handball. The Apostle Paul lived during the Roman era as a Roman citizen, and more than several factors reveal Paul was very familiar with Roman sports. So following are the factors. Playing games was a significant part of Roman culture, and Roman rulers took advantage of the public display of those sports for their political purpose. According to history.com, from the 8th century BC to the 4th century AD, the ancient Olympic Games were held every 4 years in Olympia, Greece, in honor of the god Zeus. You know, the Olympic Games were rites to worship the idols. In chapter 14 in the book of Acts, it has a record that the idol worship of Zeus was deeply permeated into people's lives. And we can assume that during the first century, the time of Paul, Olympic Games were actively held along with idol worship. Paul mentioned two specific sports in his letters, and we find two of them as well this morning. One, race, he mentioned multiple times of race in his letters. And two, boxing. And those two are the two of the Olympic Games. What kind of race was Paul referring to? It is apparent that he was not speaking of horse or chariot racing, but foot racing. There is an interesting event in Greek history that helps understand Paul's concept of life as a foot racer. A battle in Marathon, Greece, in 490 BC, was the origin of the most physically demanding foot race marathon. Athenians were fighting against Persian in the small plain of Marathon. Persian Empire, the superpower of the world then, came to attack Athenians with 30,000 troops when their counterpart has less than 10,000. Defeating the Greek was just a matter of time. But against all odds, the Athenians won the battle. A legend says that Pheidippides ran about 300 miles in 3 days and delivered the good news of a surprise victory to Athens. Paul did not call himself a marathoner, but considering the following two facts: one, Paul was speaking of a long race that lasted the entire duration of his ministry. Two, Paul ran the race for one purpose, to deliver the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. The race Paul mentioned was as good as a marathon. Looking at the Great Commission from this angle, our life is a marathon to deliver the good news of Jesus during his course. Paul understood that both the sport and life demand a lot of strength. Paul said, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." You know, it was a very well established, they had a well established sport, so they had an organized matter of getting into training and get into competition. Strict training for what? To endure the exertion and be able to finish it. Doesn't our life run like that? Life's race often drains our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual energy. An effective preventive measure to last long without being burned out is strict training. I mean, you can get into rest and retreat, but to me, the way that that works for me is a strict training. You need to train yourselves and remain strong so that you may fit physically in all the other aspects so that you can keep on going. And what is this strict training? It is translated into, as you read from the translation this morning, self-control or self-discipline to maintain good health in every aspect. Another basis for Paul to consider his life as a race was a point of start and finish. Paul's conversion was a start of his race. After extensive travels and preachings, Paul was arrested in Jerusalem and made an appeal to be tried in the court of Caesar. After he arrived in Rome, he was held under house arrest for 2 years. Shortly before he suffered martyrdom, he wrote a letter to Timothy and said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Now, do you see here? Paul referred to two popular Roman sports, race and boxing again. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." The good fight that he said, to me, Paul was referring to boxing. Now, Roman boxing was a deadly fight. They wore gloves with pieces of metal attached around the knuckles. I mean, think about it. The game did not have any limit on time or any classification of weight. So what does that mean? They fight until somebody just simply knock out or die. Imagine how terrible damage the Roman boxers would have sustained. Paul, a spiritual boxer, had a different kind of game plan, though. He let his opponent beat him numerously until his last, but kept his faith, which drastically transformed the entire Roman Empire. The hope of reward at the finish line was another secret to endure his race. On verse 24, Paul said, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize?" Prize was the foremost reason to run the race. The word athlete is derived from athlon, which means prize. You know, athletes run for the prize. That's what it is. The prize is then won at medals like today. The most popular form of the prize was a wreath made out of olive branches. It did not hold much monetary value and dried up quickly. Why did the athletes run the race? The true prize they were looking for was the public recognition of their fulfillment. Why did Paul run the race? He gives an answer in 2 Timothy. "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness from the Lord, the righteous judge." Paul was looking forward to the recognition of his service from the Lord. We are not seeking praises or recognition from people, but from God alone. At the end of our race, a simple recognition from the Lord, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That simple recognition will be more than good enough for us. Lastly, Paul was very cautious about disqualification and found the remedy of it in boxing and said, "I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave." What did Paul mean by that? Paul ran a very successful ministry career. He built so many churches and preached gospels and led countless souls to Christ. But he was not going to be the governor of his race. He'd rather be a slave to abide by the rule of his Lord and Savior. And to me, this is a solemn message and warning for today's believers, including all those who are in church leadership as Paul was. Imagine how disappointing it would be when the Lord declares that we are disqualified to go into his kingdom after all the years of service and sacrifices. I mean, what would you say? You're disqualified. Hold it, Lord, hold it. Give me a second chance. Let me go back and do it again. I'm not sure if I would want to say that even. Once is enough. Let me share a couple of examples of disqualification on marathons. NBC Los Angeles reported this news on May 8th, 2014. Mohamed Fadil's record-breaking victory at the Orange County Marathon was cut short when he was disqualified days after the race. Days after the race. You know why? All because of a minor violation. What did he do? He drank water from the bottle someone handed him during the race, not at the water station. Well, he was disqualified. And this is a very recent news. CNN reported this on July 4th this year. Senbere Teferi looked to be mere seconds away from defending her Peachtree Road Race title. That is, until she took a wrong turn just before the finish line. The first three competitors of the women's elite division of the Peachtree Road Race, a 10-kilometer race held annually in Atlanta on July 4th, were approaching the finish line when Teferi, the 2022 champion, had the lead. But with just meters to go, Teferi, who was following a lead vehicle, took a right turn, running off course. The mistake cost her the win, as Fortien Tesfaye kept going straight ahead and went on to cross the finish line first. Tesfaye's time was 30 minutes, 43 seconds, according to the online result. Teferi ended up in third, 4 seconds behind Tesfaye. The wrong turn also cost Teferi in prize money. The winner of the race earns $10,000, while the second place receives $5,000, and the third place gets $3,000. So what happened? She lost $7,000. And she later had an interview with the CBS and said she was looking at a watch, you know, right at the finish line, and then that distracted her. Well, she didn't run to the finish line first. What is the norm for qualification? A common sense answer, both in ancient times and today, is play by the rule. One day we will arrive at the finish line where the Lord, the only judge, will decide how we have run. The good news is we have not arrived there yet, and we still have a chance to make corrections. I don't know whether it is an appropriate thing to share, and you may have heard of me talking about it individually a few times. But do you know why I walk my butt up here at the church? Well, I mean, the first major thing was the financial crisis and spiritual crisis and all the, you know, the problem that the church faced when I came. And I had a fear that this church would be closed while I am still serving. And that just drove me nuts and made me work like crazy. But I'll tell you another reason. I think because this church may be my last parish to serve. And if I mess up, I would not have any more chance to serve God as faithfully as I'm supposed to, as I'm called to serve. So that's why. Well, sorry. Maybe it sounds like, you know, I'm not serving, you know, all these things and not you, but just to satisfy my desire. But the point is, it's good to have a chance. This could be my last chance to show, you know, that I have remained faithful to serve the church. It is good to have a chance to recharge our strength, to continue the race, to run the race by God's rule. And, you know, don't ever invent your own rule, because that'll disqualify us. We still have a chance to recover from the distraction and refocus on Jesus. I pray that Paul's confession will be ours at the end of the lifelong marathon. You know, I mean, I really pray that I will be able to say this when I retire, right? And I pray that you all will be able to say this, make the same confession that Paul made at the very finish line. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Amen.
Just a reminder that the presentation of our tithes and offerings may be made by placing them either in the offering plates that are at the back of the church by either door. You may also bring those to the church office or mail them into the church office. Thank you.
Jesus Christ, you have come into our lives and have filled our lives with your presence, with your blessings. You have sustained us all this time, even though we have shortcomings, flaws, we have made mistakes along the way. You have received us, embraced us, forgiven us. So we thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us in our life. We give you thanks as we recognize for all that you have done for us and bless you in this act of thanksgiving. We ask you to receive this offering, bless it, that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, I Am Thine Own, number 419.
Thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. For the pure delight of a single love that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we face a lot of discouraging moments, a lot of exertions along the way of our race. We pray, O Lord, that we will always find strength to rejuvenate our strength and be able to continue on and be able to finish the lifelong race. So empower us with your Holy Spirit. Encourage us with the hope of the reward that you have prepared for us, that we may not falter, we may not waver, but focus on you regardless of the circumstance, that we may reach our final destination and be received into your kingdom. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon all those who worship with us this morning, and ask you to send us forth with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that we may be the victors in the end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. Strong and true, Lord, he will guide you in all you do. Now he love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be.